Well, Fani Willis on Friday got the old Hillary Clinton treatment. It is so good to be a Democrat in this country. I got to tell you. You know, we'll get into that. I think you've probably already heard right now. I'll explain it in a second. But it's really remarkable. I see some people in the media on our side, of course, that are acting like there's some kind of silver lining in this decision by the judge, Scott McAfee, I think is his name, to permit Fani Willis to remain on this corrupt case in Georgia. And it's just astonishing. So, look, I mean, I am Mr. Real here. I'm not going to sit here and blow sunshine. I don't see what everyone's talking about, thinking that somehow this is still good. I mean, maybe in the opinion of the American public, this is obviously a corrupt case. You have somebody who obviously has behaved in such a way that she should be disqualified from being this case, and perhaps public opinion will sit here and view it that way. But the idea that Fani Willis gets to stay on this case after everything we've learned, her lying, her lover lying, all of this is outrageous. And by the way, the judge, I mean, look, what the judge said, obviously the problem was you had a conflict of interest. You had ethical violations, obviously, because Fani Willis, what did she do? Well, she brought on her lover boy and paid him with the Georgia taxpayer dollars over $700,000. And of course, that money was used to take her on vacations and to dinners and buy her gifts and so on and so forth. And the big problem, of course, apart from that, is that she tried to cover it up. She tried to say that, of course, she hired him. You know, they weren't lovers at the time. And that's not true. I mean, the Trump lawyers got cell phone records that showed her, you know, data location pinging around her, you know, apartment or house or whatever, well before she claimed that the relationship began. And I'm sure you'll be shocked to hear this, but Scott McAfee, I think that's his name again, Scott McAfee. Anyway, the judge so what he said was, okay, well, yeah, there's all this evidence of impropriety, but I'm not going to disqualify Fani Willis from this case, but both of you can't stay on it. So basically, Fani Willis can stay on the case so long as she takes her lover boy off the case. Now, he doesn't have to return the $700,000+ that he got from the Georgia taxpayer working on this case. No, that would be too much, right? So there you go. It's an out. And I want to explain things this way, because I'm at odds with people I admire that do this job in the industry that I really respect. And this isn't an attack on them. It's just a difference of opinion. When it came to the Robert Hur, I guess I want to call him Ben Hur, like the movie character, you know, Ben Hur. Anyway, Robert Hur, the individual special counsel, whatever, that determined that Joe Biden, he wasn't going to recommend charges against Joe Biden for being in possession illegally of classified documents during his time and from his time as a VP and then even as a senator. Well, a lot of people are saying, well, this was an Obama thing, a deep state thing. They're putting intentionally pressure on Joe Biden, putting him up against the wall. Here come, let's queue up Michelle Obama. She's waiting in the wings. And I've said none of that's happening. I'm sorry. I don't agree with that. I haven't seen the evidence for it. And so the Hur thing, I think that Hur, actually, what he did was he did the best he could for Democrats and Joe Biden. He wasn't doing any favors for someone who doesn't want Joe Biden to be in there. He had a difficult task. You have to remember, when it came to James Comey exonerating Hillary Clinton, we knew that Hillary Clinton had violated the law. Everyone knew that. She had an illegal server in her home. She had lied about so much. Of course, she destroyed evidence after subpoenas were issued for those emails. She destroyed them. They broke her cell phones with hammers, her people, and so on and so forth. So we knew that she'd committed a crime. And so the task for James Comey was to figure out how to get her out of that situation. It's the same thing here with the Scott McAfee. Scott McAfee, who, by the way, donated to Fani Willis's campaign. So the judge who was tasked with deciding whether or not to disqualify Fani Willis for her behavior, untoward behavior. Well, he worked under Fani Willis at one time. He is a Democrat himself. He's up for re-election soon. So there is no justice here. I don't see the positive. I mean, there's positive things I'm going to get into. So don't worry. This isn't just, you know, Mr. Negativity Hour here. But I'm just trying to explain to you that there's no spinning this in some kind of positive way. And as a matter of fact, cue up cut one. I want to go back because you're going to see that the same thing that Comey did with Clinton was done with her and Joe Biden and was just done with Scott McAfee and Fannie Willis. There is not justice in America. It's a totally corrupt system. And we've seen evidence of this for a long time, but certainly front and center with Hillary Clinton. But go ahead and play cut one to refresh your memories.
There are other work-related emails that they did not produce to state and that we did not find elsewhere and that are now gone because they deleted all emails they did not produce to state, and the lawyers then cleaned their devices in such a way as to preclude complete forensic recovery. There is evidence to support a conclusion that any reasonable person in Secretary Clinton's position or in the position of those with whom she was corresponding about those matters should have known that an unclassified system was no place for that conversation. To be clear, this is not to suggest that in similar circumstances, a person who engaged in this activity would face no consequences. To the contrary, those individuals are often subject to security or administrative sanctions, but that's not what we're deciding now. As a result, although the Department of Justice makes final decisions on matters like this, we are expressing to justice our view that no charges are appropriate in this case.
So he goes through and he explains, yeah, Hillary Clinton broke the law. Yes, she did X, Y, and Z. Yes, there were classified top secret documents exchanged on this illegal private server. And as a matter of fact, ordinarily we would actually recommend prosecution for other people, but we're just not going to do it for Hillary Clinton. And this is the same thing going on. Now think about Special Counsel Robert Hur. Now, he was tasked with what? Getting Joe Biden off the hook. That's the reality, because just like Clinton, everyone knew what he did was wrong. All right. So Robert Hur, just to refresh your memory, when he presented that his report on Biden's practices, he said they present serious risk to national security. But he added that part of the reason he wouldn't charge Biden was that the president could portray himself as an elderly man with a poor memory. Our investigation uncovered evidence that President Biden willfully retained and disclosed classified materials after his vice presidency when he was a private citizen. That's a no-no, the report said, but added that the evidence does not establish Mr. Biden's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. So I think that Robert Hur, he did the best he could. Because how are you going to get somebody off the hook? How are you going to justify not prosecuting them? Well, honestly, the most creative option on the table is to say, well, look, he's an old guy with memory loss. We shouldn't prosecute him because nobody would possibly find him guilty anyway because of his state of mind. So I don't think the intention there was actually to, you know, stick it to Joe Biden. It was that you're dealing with Joe Biden, who committed a crime. What are your options? That's literally the most creative and best option you can come up with in that case. So that's what I would say about what's going on. Now, look, I'm going to finish up with this. I want to get on to a lot of other things. This TikTok bill, which, again, I'm bucking the Heritage Foundation, Ben Shapiro, all these people who think this is a fantastic bill that must be passed. But anyway, before I get to that, just to show you how messed up and corrupt this decision is by Scott McAfee to let Fannie Willis off the hook, not to disqualify from this case. Here is cue up cut two. This is MSNBC. This is what a lawyer on the far left MSNBC Democrat propaganda network, this is what they said when we learned what Fannie Willis had done in terms of her lack of ethics, her behavior. All of these things were on the table before Scott McAfee. Well, here's what they said before Scott McAfee came up with his decision. Cut to.
It's so legalistic-centric and yet so important and fascinating.
Right. Don't let the legalese fool you. This is epic. This is monumental. If things are going in the direction we think, Fannie Willis lied to the court, it's game over for her. She will be disqualified. If they had a relationship prior to when they represented to the court, it's a huge deal. I can't overstate it.
And do you
So even MSNBC prior to this. Now, if you tune into MSNBC today, what they'll tell you, or if you tuned in on Friday, what they'll tell you is, oh, yes, this was, of course, the right decision. They'll do a complete 180, obviously. And actually, I have seen some of these pundits on MSNBC. I've actually heard both sides, but predominantly what they're saying is, no. Fani Willis just needs to push forward. But anyway, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and I'm going to talk about this TikTok bill and explain why it's wrong and why we should be suspicious. So, you know, look, I put this piece up on my Substack, drewallen.substack.com. It's why I'm a no on the TikTok bill. And then I'll get into the immigration issue as well. I have a piece up at American Greatness, or had it up. It was published on Friday about the United States is not the world's trash can. So you want to stick around and hear that too. But anyway, this I just published on my Substack because I felt like it was really vital and imperative that people not fall for this. Now, on Wednesday, the House voted to pass this, you know, TikTok bill. And what is this bill allegedly going to do? Oh, well, it is what it does, but it would force ByteDance, which is, of course, the parent company of TikTok, the popular social media app used especially by the Zoomers out there and the youth, well, to either be banned in U.S. stores or otherwise sold to Americans. And as I was saying, you have a number of these prominent Republicans, these people who are so-called conservative thought leaders. They didn't think very hard about this one, unfortunately, I must say. And even the Heritage Foundation, right? A right-wing conservative think tank, which has a lot of credibility. And again, people get things wrong. We're allowed to disagree. So my purpose isn't to, you know, smear people on our side per se, but I have a responsibility to also express my own opinion when it deviates importantly from what these people are saying. And what we're faced with now is a situation where, let me relate this to the COVID-19 pandemic, 15 days to slow the spread. Pretty much everyone in America, everyone, left, right, center, at the onset of the fear porn campaign related to the pandemic, everyone pretty much was bamboozled. And how was this presented to us? It was a binary choice. I mean, basically it told us, you either stay at home like we are commanding you, or you're going to be held responsible for murdering your neighbor with this deadly virus. That was basically it. You're either patriotic and stay home and give up your liberty, or you're unpatriotic and a murderer. All right, so you're either a good person by staying at home, or you're a bad person if you disagree with us. And you should always be weary, especially when it's the media and Democrats presenting you with those choices, even certain Republicans, you should be very suspicious immediately. So Ben Shapiro, of the Ben Shapiro Show and Daily Wire, he said on a show, I believe, and then I saw it on X, formerly Twitter, quote, "It's nice to see a bit of bipartisan sanity once in a while." When was the last time you saw a piece of bipartisan legislation that was good for America, by the way? When was the last time you saw a piece of bipartisan legislation that was in some way beneficial towards conservative principles and values, and thus America? Never, never. Every time it's bipartisan, it's what? The Democrats get everything they want. That's what bipartisan means, and that's why the left pitches it that way. That's why rhinos pitch it that way. It's the uniparty. Bipartisan in today's day and age, I'm sorry to say, it is 2024. The Democrats are on, you know, college campuses, supporting Hamas. You have Chuck Schumer calling, you know, to overthrow the Israeli government and get rid of Netanyahu. I mean, this is the Democrat Party. So you better believe that anything they support is probably not good for America. But don't worry, I've got more facts than that. So, you know, look, I get it. I get it. I don't mean to attack anybody who thinks this bill is good. I get it. It's easy to be lulled into the support of this thing because what? Again, binary choice between what? Well, you either support the communist Chinese or you support the United States. And the allegation against TikTok, ByteDance, of course, which I'm not questioning, is that the app is being used to spy on Americans, on users. So they're gathering data and so on and so forth. And this isn't news. I mean, last year, I think it was in February of 2023, the U.S. government announced that TikTok was going to be banned from U.S. government-issued devices, phones, etc. So this isn't some new information. But here's the thing, you know, I might be a little less cynical, and I might be a little bit more prone to celebrate this bill like Shapiro and the Heritage Foundation, who the Heritage Foundation, for example, here we go. This bill will protect Americans from the influence of the CCP through TikTok. Just simple, just like that. Boom. Yeah, this bill's going to protect it. Okay. But let's just go through a little history, because the circumstances of this are very suspect, and certainly the, in my opinion, exaggerated concern for TikTok when there's no concern at all about other issues related to China. So under Barack Obama, I would remind you, Edward Snowden, a NSA, National Security Agency contractor, well, he revealed what? That the NSA had developed a mass surveillance program and they were engaged in the mass surveillance of American citizens. It violated all kinds of our rights. This was under Barack Obama. So our government was spying illegally on American citizens. And of course, you had Fox News reporter James Rosen. He was surveilled by the Obama administration as well. They monitored his movements in and out of the State Department, his personal emails, his phone calls, all of this. And it was all under the false premise that James Rosen was a national security threat. And then what? What did we have in 2020 and beyond? We had our own government, the FBI, doing what? Working in conjunction with American social media companies like Twitter, like Facebook, to what? Suppress voices of dissent, to interfere in the 2020 election, to suppress the Hunter Biden laptop story, kicking, booting Americans that said things that the left didn't like, kicking them, deplatforming these people, taking away their voice and their First Amendment right. That was American social media companies. So I would ask you, who's done more damage to this country? TikTok or Twitter, owned by Jack Dorsey or then Parag Agrawal? Who's done more damage? The Facebook, Meta, Instagram, owned by, of course, Mark Zuckerberg, or the minority stake owner, Chinese, in ByteDance and TikTok? And I mean, look, I mean, we have our U.S. cell phone companies and carriers. They're complying with the government anytime the government asks and makes a request. You had all these J6 protesters, right, who committed what? The grave offense of entering the Capitol building, open doors, and taking selfies. How did these people get tracked down? Well, the cell phone carriers turned over information because, you know, your cell phone, depending on your location data, it pings a tower. And so you had the FBI working with these cell phone carriers to find out who was there on J6. And the amazing thing about it was there were people out walking their dogs. that weren't even at the protest, weren't protesters, that had FBI show up at their doors because their cell phones pinged the towers. Incredible. That's our government doing this. So my point is, look, the CCP is absolutely a foreign adversary, but you have to be a fool to deny the fact that our own government is a domestic adversary at this point in our history. So basically, we've got to ban TikTok or force it sale to some new owner, because TikTok is what? Doing the same thing our own American-owned social media companies have also done. Do you see my issue here with this? And then we come to the issue of congressional priorities. Now, I go through in this article, I mean, I just ask logical questions. Okay, why, I ask, for example, is banning or forcing the sale of TikTok more urgent than, say, securing the border? Right? We have Chinese nationalists that are illegally invading the United States of America. Do you know, by the way, that hundreds of thousands of them, by the way, have illegally entered this country? As a matter of fact, there were 18,740 encounters between last October and the end of January, which is, you know, the first part of the fiscal year. It starts in October. And so Chinese nationals are actually the fastest growing demographic entering the U.S. illegally now. Now, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you in Congress. Let me ask those of you who are vehement advocates of this TikTok bill. What's more dangerous? Is TikTok a greater national security threat than the illegal Chinese nationals who are invading this country under the invitation of the Biden administration? And TikTok may be spying on people, but is it killing them? Over 100,000 Americans are dying from fentanyl overdoses. The chemicals to make the fentanyl, of course, come exclusively from China. So fentanyl's killing 100,000 Americans a year. TikTok is spying on Americans. And yet there's no movement, there's no urgency to save American lives from Chinese fentanyl. And then when it came to the I mean, it's amazing too, you know, when we had COVID-19, right, when that was here, we had the Democrat Party that defended the Chinese. You could not call it the Wuhan flu. And as a matter of fact, you didn't have to call it the Wuhan flu. You weren't even supposed to point out the fact that it came from China, because the Democrats told us that hate crimes and beatings of Asian Americans were on the rise because we were pointing out that it came from China. And that was somehow instigating violence against Asian Americans. And yet here they are, having no problem, pretending and telling us that this TikTok app is the most dangerous thing ever. Aren't they concerned about violence towards Asian Americans for pointing out that the Chinese may be using TikTok to spy on Americans? No logic to these people. But here's the big thing, right? So the bill gives the president of the United States, which is currently who? I mean, fake president, but nonetheless, he's the president, right? Joe Biden. It gives him the authority to decide which companies run by so-called foreign adversaries must be forced to divest, to sell. Now, are Americans safer if TikTok is sold to a far-left activist? Okay, is TikTok going to benefit Americans if, say, it was in the hands of another Parag Agrawal, the censorship police that used to run Twitter? If Zuckerberg were to run TikTok, would that benefit Americans? Would that be any better than the communist Chinese owning a minority stake in ByteDance, the company that owns TikTok? The answer is no. It's absolutely no. You see, it depends on who buys it, and the federal government's going to be the one to decide who gets to purchase TikTok. And of course, there are plenty of people out there that are billionaires, rich Americans, who support this bill because they would love to own this very influential and powerful company. Add it to their portfolio, if you will. So there are many reasons that are not pro-American reasons to support this bill. And what's remarkable to me, too, and then we're going to finish with this, is that it's only 12 pages. So you could actually read this bill yourself. You don't actually have to have me tell you anything. You don't have to rely on the media. I mean, typically these bills, right, you get like 2,000 pages. Nobody can read that. You got to pass it to find out what's in it. Well, in this case, it's 12 pages. I was shocked. So pull up photo one, actually. This is the first concern, right? This is, you know, you read through the bill, you get to like page 11, 12. And the president determines through an interagency process would result in the relevant covered company no longer being controlled by a foreign adversary. So this is an enormous amount of power that you were giving to Joe Biden, by the way. So the executive branch can simply decide which companies must be sold or taken off the App Store. Now go to photo two. Okay, how do you define a foreign adversary? This is something else I point out in this article. Well, it's just a foreign person that lives in, is headquartered in, has its principal place of business in, or is organized under the laws of a foreign adversary country. So, in other words, these are kind of misleading terms because this is simply someone who lives in or whose business operates principally in a foreign adversary country. And by the way, reading down to part B there, what is a company controlled by a foreign adversary? It's an individual or multiple people that own a 20% stake. So you can pull that down. So a 20% stake is all you have to own in one of these companies. So if somebody lives in China and they're rich and they're an investor in your American social media company, well, they can deem that company owned by a foreign adversary, even though that foreign adversary only owns a minority 20% stake. Understand that? Now pull up photo three. This is the last one. This is the other red flag. So if you want to say, pound sand, Joe Biden, I'm going to take you to court over you interfering with my company. Well, they make sure that there is an exclusive jurisdiction. So the DC Court of Appeals, DC Circuit there, they have exclusive jurisdiction over any challenge to this act. You can pull it down. Now, the DC Circuit is a left-wing court. This is a dream for Democrats. This, for example, is the court that not too long ago ruled that pro-life advocates could not write their messages in chalk on a sidewalk, but also ruled that BLM could. So this is the court you're going to be dealing with. And so, you know, here we are in an election year, and we know the Democrats want to control free speech. They want to control the flow of information, and they're pushing like crazy to get this bill passed and force TikTok to sell to someone that we don't know who it'll fall into the hands of. So the cons vastly outweigh the pros, in my opinion. And we know that Democrats and politicians, if you've listened to this show, tuned in this is the third week now of the Drew Allen Show on Patriot TV, third Saturday, but also my podcast, The Drew Allen Show, I talk all the time about Democrat tactics. Saul Alinsky, all right? You create a problem, or you even use an existing problem, and then you present a solution to the American people. There are no other options presented. It's the only option they're given. They're told they must approve this option, this solution to the problem that you either created or are exploiting. And the cure is always worse than the disease. It's like the Second Amendment. Democrats, they want to propose legislation and so on and so on. You either stand with the kids or you stand with the killers. That's basically how they phrase it. You're either a common sense person that wants to protect kids or you want kids to die with the Second Amendment. And so they push forward this legislation, and it's the same way they're doing this legislation here. How could you possibly not support this, right? You know, the communist Chinese, they're bad, right? They're bad. I mean, yes, they are bad, but the problem today is, of course, our own government is not much better than any of these tyrannies around the world. In fact, we're on the precipice of devolving into, permanently, these very nations that we're sitting here lambasting all the time. This is the great damage the Democrat Party's done and Joe Biden. I mean, they have destroyed our reputation. They've destroyed our ability to claim the moral high ground. It's outrageous. So this feels like a trap to me. And I don't think those championing it have learned a thing. I think they're very, very gullible. So I'm going to have to be a hard pass and a no on this TikTok bill, not to mention the principles and things surrounding it as well. Now, speaking of the Second Amendment, though, have you seen these videos on the New York subway? I mean, this has been going on for a long time. But you've got people being shot on the subway, being beaten up on the subway. I mean, look, you know, we're looking over here at Haiti right now, descending into violence. The New York subway system, I mean, that's like little Haiti. You're not safe down there. And what's so disgusting, if you look around, the Democrats too are telling us what? Oh, yeah, you've never been safer. There's very, very low crime. I mean, it's amazing. Joe Biden's doing a bang-up job. You're so safe. And watching what's happening, not just on the subway, but anywhere I see violence erupt, it's just senseless. Citizen on citizen. Or any kind of violence by an illegal that murders Lake and Riley, for example, or whatever. I think about this government and the Democrat Party have no intention of actually protecting us. They don't care about our lives at all whatsoever. And they want to take away our right to self-defense. Their policies make it unsafe for us to simply walk around the streets of our neighborhoods. And at the same time that they're making our streets and our subways and our cities less safe, they want to disarm the American people. They want you to be a sitting duck. They want you to rely upon them for protection when they have no intention of protecting you at all. And as you watch these scenes unfold around the country, in which, for example, you have this voyeurism, right? You have American citizens, whether it's the subway or in a McDonald's or in the middle of the day on some street in some city, you have all these American voyeurs just filming and watching this violence play out. And I'll never forget, for example, I forgot what city it was, but you had a individual load a gun. It took him 40 seconds before he walked up to a homeless person sitting on the street in broad daylight and shot him in the head. And somebody filmed the entire thing happening. They could have prevented this. They could have intervened. They could have stopped it. And there's a few takeaways from this. Obviously, there's like a sociopathic nature taking over America where people feel no responsibility for anything. But also, I would remind you about Daniel Penny. Daniel Penny's the Marine, right? The Democrats made an example of him. He actually intervened. You had a mentally ill person on the subway that was threatening other passengers. And Daniel Penny put him in a chokehold. And unfortunately, tragically, the mentally ill individual who was accustomed to descending into episodes of violence, well, he passed away, and Daniel Penny's going to go to jail. So you do not incentivize American citizens to actually get involved and protect their fellow citizens, because what? If you do it, you could go to jail. Daniel Penny is not a monster. He was a hero. And it would be amazing. I mean, we need more Daniel Pennies out there who are good Samaritans. And yet, the Democrats know exactly what they're doing by arresting people like Daniel Penny and publicly, you know, metaphorically lynching him in front of the country to make darn sure that you do not ever help out your fellow man. I mean, that's kind of what's going on here. But anyway, let's take another short break. And when we get back, I want to get into some of the troubling economic news, the death spiral that the Biden administration and his campaign are in, and more.
Hi, neighbor. Pat Boone here. Today, I want to help you find some peace of mind concerning your money. Like it or not, we're all living in a financial war zone. That's right. We're watching our hard-earned dollars get crushed by inflation. In fact, recently, inflation reached its highest level in 40 years. And on top of that, cash, which has always represented freedom and privacy, is more and more being replaced by a cashless system. That's right, powerful forces are definitely waging a war against cash. So I'm encouraging you to prepare before it's too late. Call or text the number on the screen for a free report, The Secret War on Cash from Swiss America. Discover how a few simple steps can protect your money as well as your privacy and your peace of mind. So call or text for your free report, The Secret War on Cash, and make sure to mention Pat Boone sent you.
I'm very happy to have been hearing other hosts out there touch on something that I wrote about in my book, America's Last Stand, Will You Vote to Save or Destroy America in 2024? Now, I harp on this in my book. I've harped on this on my show, and I'm hearing other people now point this out. It's very important the American people understand. In order to combat and defeat the propaganda, you have to be armed with the facts, with truth, with information. And inflation is one of those things where there's been such great dishonesty in an effort to convince the American people that things are better than they are in the country. Inflation is cumulative. It compounds, right? So Joe Biden will say, for example, inflation is down. He's talking about month over month or even year over year. So if inflation, for example, is 5% this month, and next month it's 4%, Joe Biden will tell you, oh, look, inflation is going down. It's going down. Well, that 5% and 4% add up. So the point is, inflation is down over what it was the last month, but the prices of everything are still getting more expensive. So it's 5% last month. This month it's 4%. So last month, prices increased by 5%. The next month, they increased by 4%. That is not good economic news. But the big problem, too, is that what the Bureau of Labor Statistics and what the federal government does in terms of its reporting of inflation is very, very dishonest. And what they will do, for example, is the way they compare and report inflation is that they do a year-over-year comparison. And so they're looking at current prices next to already inflated prices. And so it makes the actual effective inflation seem less severe than it is. And I mean to give credit here. I don't know if this is from Red State or if it's from Town Hall. I'll figure it out. But basically, the CPI is showing that inflation isn't going away. I mean, even the CPI reporting of it is showing that. So the most recent CPI report indicates a 3.2% increase in prices from February 2023 to February 2024. So that's a significant increase. It is. But it only shows the increase over a 12-month period. So what they did with this tip CPI, it uses February 2021, the month after President Biden came into office, as the base measure for inflation, which is brilliant. Because we need to remember what things were before Biden came into office so that we understand how much they've increased under the Biden administration. Just how bad we have it under Joe Biden. So this is remarkable, and these numbers are going to shock you. But listen carefully. This is super important. So the tip CPI, right, using the baseline from the month after Joe Biden came into office instead of just a year ago, year over year. So Biden inflation is actually at a whopping 18%. 18%. Now, that includes all goods and services. Now, I'll break down and tell you, using the same index, what food is, what energy costs are, for example. But overall inflation, they report, you know, it's 6%. So whatever the number is, they tell you, it's actually 18% over what it was. Everything all together in this basket thrown together, 18%. Everything is 18% more expensive than when Biden came into office. That's why Americans are suffering. That's why you can't pay your bills. That's why people are reaching into their 401k accounts, their retirement accounts, and drawing out money before they intended to. That's why Americans are poor and suffering and struggling. So here's an example. Food prices, right? This is one that I experience, at least I think, I mean, we got to eat. And this is where I notice it the most. But you got food prices that increased by 20.6%. But the Biden measure tells you it's only 2.2% right now, right? Energy prices have increased by 29.6%. Nearly 30% energy prices have increased. But what they'll tell you is energy prices improved by 1.9%. You see what they do? Oh, yes. Energy costs are down 1.9% than they were a year ago. Yeah, but since Joe Biden came into the office, they're actually up 30%. These people are devious, and sick and perverted because they're so eager to lie to you. Gasoline prices, 29.9%, 30% increase since Biden came into office. And he's going to tell you what? Gas prices are down. They've never been lower. Look what I'm doing for you, the American people. So this is still the driving issue. And the thing is, this isn't going to change between now and the election. So what is Joe Biden going to have to do? He's going to have to lie to you. He's going to have to lie to you. Now, this is quite a funny story I want to share with you because it just shows you how out of touch the Democrats are. Here's the headline. Panic time for Democrats as Joe Biden gets no bump from terrible State of the Union speech. You know, I played last Saturday, I think it was, the clip of the propagandist himself, Joe Scarborough, telling us about what a brilliant speech. You know, this was the best speech since Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation. And yet the Democrats are shocked to know that no Americans bought this speech. It didn't move the needle in Joe Biden's favor. These people need to get out of their bubble and talk to some actual American citizens. Although I don't want them to, because the way it's going, they're going to get absolutely slaughtered in November. Now, again, I feel like I shouldn't even have to say this. That's not, you can sit back and coast. You know, you've got to treat this election like it's, because it is, the most important election of your lifetime. I mean, this is as important as 1776 and 1861, and yet we're trying to use elections and voting to save the country. And you have an obligation as an American citizen. We are the patriots of 2024. That's what I call us in my book. And we have an obligation to step up and save the country. And I know there are people out there that are just cynical. I'm not going to vote for Donald Trump. I don't like this. I don't like that. I mean, we got to work on those people. We really do. Now, here's another one. Oh, actually, as a matter of fact, just to tell you how funny this is. So not only did Joe Biden get no bump from his State of the Union campaign address, divisive speech, he actually hit an all-time low in approval rating. And I'm telling you, the Democrats are just flummoxed. They're terrified. And they're digging their own grave. And we better help them into it. So we've got the House Democrats now, by the way, because all they have is propaganda to try and avoid decimation in November. But you've got House Democrats creating a task force focused on border security. Oh, they've got to figure out what's wrong at the border. Why is this happening at the border? Could it be Joe Biden and Mayorkas and their policies and their executive actions that rescinded everything that Donald Trump put in place? No. I mean, poor Kamala Harris. Don't you feel kind of bad for her? I mean, she was the border czar, and obviously, she's just been removed from that post, not that she could ever find the border. But now the House Democrats are having to create a task force. So they just took Kamala Harris's job away and gave it to these House Democrats. But don't feel too bad for Kamala Harris because she got a new job. She's now the abortion czar. That's right. She's going down to run some Planned Parenthood abortion clinics. That's her new post. And I love it because everywhere Kamala Harris goes, by the way, I guess she's going to visit an abortion clinic. She's the first woman to ever visit an abortion clinic or VP or whatever it is, you know, not the first woman, obviously, to visit an abortion clinic. As a matter of fact, that's the problem, isn't it? we have record numbers of women visiting abortion clinics like it's birth control. But anyway, VP Kamala Harris, she's going to go visit an abortion clinic. She couldn't find the border. It was hidden, you know, too hard to find. But these abortion clinics, she knows how to find her way around. So she's going to go and do that. Let's see if the Democrats create a abortion clinic task force next and take Kamala Harris off of that post. All right. I want to address this illegal immigration problem kind of quickly and then get into a couple other things here. This Ken Buck resignation is huge. I want to make sure I have time for that. So cue up cut four. This is again, you've probably heard this, but this is the Biden apologizing for calling Lakin Riley's murderer and illegal. Go ahead and play it. Cut four.
But during your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Lakin Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country. The reason our economy is growing.
Illegals built the country. Not you, not the taxpayer that's being robbed blind to pay for these illegals' housing and health care and everything else, their flights into a city near you. No, the illegals built this country. Now, as I write in this piece I wrote that was published in American Greatness on Friday, that cut and parts of it should be used in every Trump ad between now and November. Because it shows the obvious, clear, crystal clear juxtaposition between Trump's America First movement and Biden and the Democrats' America Last movement. Now, Joe Biden will not stoop so low as to disrespect a criminal illegal murderer like the illegal Venezuelan that bludgeoned Lakin Riley to death. No, he won't disrespect the criminal murderer. But he has no problem disrespecting Trump supporters, calling us a threat to America, a threat to democracy. He has no problem disrespecting the unvaccinated who were proven correct. When he said this was a pandemic of the unvaccinated, he called the unvaccinated unpatriotic. He blamed them for the pandemic. He has no problem disrespecting the Supreme Court justices, as he did during his divisive State of the Union campaign speech. No problem whatsoever doing that. He has no problem disrespecting the laws of the land, as he did when he acknowledged that the Supreme Court, there's no way his eviction moratorium would pass constitutional muster, as he said. And yet he said, well, we're going to push forward with it, even though I know it's not constitutional, because by the time they get around to it, we will have bought some time. So there's all kinds of Americans he'll disrespect, but he won't just disrespect criminal illegals. And what does this tell you about the Democrats and Joe Biden? They hate Americans. They despise you. And yet they are elected to do what? Are these individuals the presidents of Haiti or El Salvador or Venezuela? No, they're not. Are they elected by Haitians to further the needs and desires of the Haitian citizens? No, they're not. And this is why the word that needs to be used more and more for these policies and these politicians is treason. They're all traitors. They're not elected to help the poor around the world. They're elected to protect and improve America and life for Americans. And this is the central talking point that really needs to be made about the immigration issue, because America is a Ferrari. We are not a Serbian Yugo piece of junk car to be treated with disrespect. The point of immigration is not to import the discard of the rest of the world, third world countries. It's not to take the world's poor and uneducated and help them. The immigrant isn't coming here and asking, what are you going to do for me? It's our responsibility and our duty as Americans to look at immigrants who want to come here and say, what are you going to do to improve the United States? That's the question, not the other way around. And the Democrats and Joe Biden have it absolutely backwards. That is not the purpose of immigration. It's to improve America, not improve some other country, not to be the trash can for the world. We're not the world's rehab center. We're not the world's homeless shelter. We're not any of those things. We are the crown jewel of civilization. And if you want to come here, the criteria is you better be ready to make this country better. That's it, period. So that's what I wanted to say about that. All right, let's end on this. I want to talk about this Joe Buck. Folks, what can I say? I'm not Joe Biden. So look, we got this Ken Buck resignation. I want to explain what's going on. I mean, it could be both things. If you didn't hear, it's wild. So the only people who can destroy the Republicans' chances, of course, are Republicans who are great at sabotaging themselves. Now, Ken Buck just suddenly announced, right? He's a representative out of Colorado. He just announced he's going to resign from the House of Representatives, like effective immediately, next week or something like that, leaving what? The Republican majority, it's even diminished further now. And so here we are. The only thing that's saving this country right now, more or less, is the fact that Democrats don't have a trifecta. They cannot pass legislation. They cannot ruin this country with legislation unless the Republicans in the House permit it to happen. And so you have Ken Buck here. Here's what we have to understand about this. So, I mean, Ken Buck is a louse. This guy's an absolute reject loser, a total zero, by the way. He was elected to serve and represent this district in Colorado, and he said, screw you, I'm leaving the House. And he knows exactly what he's doing. But you see, I think it's more than just the usual screw you, we hate concern. I think it's personal against Lauren Boebert, because you have to remember, Boebert won her seat during midterms by like 600 votes, more or less. And she decided, because Ken Buck announced he was going to resign, or he didn't announce he was going to resign. He announced he was not going to run for re-election about a year ago or whatever. And so Lauren Boebert said, well, crap, I could lose in my district because I only won by 600 votes. I'm going to run in Ken Buck's open district instead, because it's like a Republican plus 13 or plus 8 or whatever. I mean, I can win there for sure. And you have to remember, there were other people that wanted to run in that Ken Buck seat. So these people are saying, what the heck? Lauren Boebert, stay in your lane. I don't care if you win or lose over there. I had plans for my career to run in Ken Buck's district instead. And she ruined that for a lot of people. Furthermore, you always have conservatives versus rhinos. And there are plenty of people in the Republican Party, the establishment, that do not like Lauren Boebert. And so Buck leaving now triggers this special election in his district. And so if Lauren Boebert were to run in that special election, she would have to vacate her current district, leaving Republicans what? Another seat down in the House. This was an absolute sabotage hit job. Now, the person that wins this special election race that's going to be held on the same day as the primary, they're only going to finish out Ken Buck's term. So they're just going to serve for a few months until November, and then you've got to vote to fill that seat again. So Lauren Boebert, even though she's running, announced she's running for that seat in November, well, she can't run in that special council because then they're going to be down two seats for a while. And so what's happened here now is you've created all this confusion because voters are going to go on, June 25th of the polls, and they're going to have to vote for a special election who's not going to be Lauren Boebert. And then they're going to have to vote for Lauren Boebert in the primary to run in that congressional race in November. And so it's just an absolute crap show, if you will. And it's absolute done on purpose. And I'm telling you, it's personal. It's payback to Lauren Boebert for robbing someone else of their dream of running in Ken Buck's district. And it's the Republican Party in Colorado. So it's just this huge mess. Democrats are probably going to win her old district now. And, you know, they're effectively trying to sabotage in some way the ability to win that Ken Buck seat. So it's just a total mess. It's childish, in my opinion. And it's typical of Republican Party who do not understand the circumstances and stakes of 2024. We're sitting here playing these games at the detriment of the country. And it's so frightening that we do not have a true opposition party in America to confront the Democrat Party. You know, we need strength. We need unity. And, you know, Trump gives us that, but there's still plenty of people out there that are your typical Republicans, your Mitt Romney types, your Mitch McConnell types even. And they don't care anything about the country. They just care about themselves. They care about getting invited to the right country clubs and dinners and, you know, getting that grift money from the American taxpayer and making sure they can get a job on MSNBC when they decide, or on some board that's going to make them a millionaire because they get, you know, handouts by the federal government, courtesy of you and me. So anyway, that's just what's going on. But, you know, the chairman of Colorado's Republican Party, he wasn't pleased with Boebert's decision to skip out on the reelection bid in her home district. So he said, from a party perspective, we certainly don't think it was the best move. So they're not happy with her. And I think this is just a little bit of revenge. This is a middle finger to Lauren Boebert. So anyway, you know, a lot we got into today. But, you know, keep your head up because we've got to stay on target. I promise that I'm going to stay on target here every Saturday. We're not going to be bogged down in the minutiae and the irrelevant things. We're going to stay focused here, and we're going to win this election in 2024 and continue this movement beyond. So I want to thank you for being with me today on Saturday. God bless you all. This is Drew Allen, your millennial minister of truth. Until next time.